The S&P 500 hitting a record, while Michael Burry warns of a 1987-style crash, is the kind of tension that makes market analysis feel impossible. Burry's credibility comes from his 2007 to 2008 short on mortgage-backed securities. He was right when almost everyone was wrong, at a scale that made him famous. But he's also been wrong about crash timing multiple times since then. The 1987 crash he's referencing dropped the Dow by 22.6% in a single day, October 19, 1987, known as Black Monday. The mechanics that drove it, portfolio insurance strategies that created a feedback loop of selling, were specific to that era. Whether analogous structural features exist today is genuinely debated.
Ray Dalio, drawing parallels to 1929 and 2000, is the second data point in the same direction. Dalio founded Bridgewater, which manages roughly $150 billion, and his macro frameworks, particularly around debt cycles, have a credibility that merits attention even when you disagree with his conclusions. His argument about AI showing classic signs of bubble behavior centers on the gap between current earnings and the valuations being assigned based on future potential. The 2000 parallel is the one that stings, because so many of the companies valued highest at the peak of the dot-com bubble were real companies with real technology. The technology wasn't the problem, the price was.
The situational awareness hedge fund collapse is the most concrete data point we have about what happens when AI-driven investment strategies go wrong at scale. The fund lost roughly two-thirds of its value in July. That's not a bad month. That's a catastrophic failure, and was forced to liquidate $16 billion in public equities to Citadel. Jim Cramer calling it a clearing event for tech stocks. Is his way of saying that forced selling of that magnitude creates buying opportunities, and that the market will normalize once the liquidation pressure is absorbed? Whether that's right depends on how many other AI-driven funds are in similar positions.
The $100 billion in bonds trading at junk-level spreads is the story that worries me most of the ones we're covering today. Oracle and Stellantis are both investment-grade issuers. Their bonds are rated BBB or better, which means pension funds and insurance companies can hold them under their investment mandates. But when those bonds trade at spreads that imply junk-level credit risk, it means the market is pricing in deterioration that the rating agencies haven't formally recognized yet. The fallen angel concept describes an investment-grade bond that gets downgraded to junk, forcing institutional investors who can only hold investment-grade paper to sell simultaneously, which creates exactly the kind of forced selling that destabilizes markets.
The AI-related borrowing surge that's driving some of this stress is worth explaining. Companies are taking on substantial debt to finance AI infrastructure, data centers, compute capacity, energy contracts. Oracle, for instance, has committed to enormous capital expenditures for AI infrastructure. If the revenue from AI services doesn't materialize at the scale and timeline the borrowing was predicated on, you get bonds that the market reprices before the rating agencies act. The lag between market pricing and formal ratings action can be months, during which institutional investors are holding paper that trades like junk, but is technically still rated investment grade.
The Fed officials signaling possible rate hikes is the macro context for all of this. Multiple Fed officials said this week they're prepared to raise rates if inflation doesn't ease. This after Chair Warsh's July press conference rattled markets. Kevin Warsh, who took the chair position, has a reputation for being more hawkish than his predecessor, and markets are trying to calibrate whether the July press conference represented policy intent or communication error. If rates go up from current levels, every leveraged position in the market gets more expensive to maintain, and companies with heavy AI-related debt loads feel it first.
Treasury Secretary Bessent, leading the first U.S.-Japan yen intervention since 1998, is a significant event in currency markets that didn't get the attention it deserves this week. In 1998, the U.S. intervened to buy yen to support Japan's currency during the Asian financial crisis. The fact that Bessent, who draws explicitly on his hedge fund background in how he approaches these situations, is coordinating a joint intervention suggests the yen's weakness has reached a threshold where both governments consider it destabilizing. The yen's weakness relative to the dollar affects U.S. competitiveness in Asia, Japanese export pricing, and the carry trade dynamics that can amplify market volatility when they unwind.